May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. What a beautiful and radiant summer morning to be with you here at Church of the Servant, celebrating the afterglow of Pentecost and delving into the community witness of the gospel. For many of us, the Spirit is alive and well. Power is back on, Lake Michigan is up, and time is finally available to spend with our loved ones. Furthermore, Detroit is in the national spotlight this week, hosting the DNC debate. The Marvel comic universe is expanding to redefine what heroes look like. And muffins mean yes in Gilead, because The Handmaid's Tale has been renewed for a fourth season on Hulu. For those of you who may not know me or perhaps think I look familiar, my name is Catherine Lee Baker. I'm an ordained minister in the Reformed Church in America, and I am happy to be back in Grand Rapids, having spent many of my formative years of ministry on the East Coast, this tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And while I have shifted from parish ministry to clinical work, I am delighted to be back in a pulpit, shaking things up a bit, simply by offering the voice and perspective of a young person of color, adoptee, divorcee, feminist, womanist, visionary, and failure alike. All that to say, I am delighted to be with you here this morning, celebrating the incredible community of Christ's servants as you make a home for God's children and offer yourselves as a prism for God's light in liturgy and in life. This morning, we gather here in the sanctuary around word and sacrament, corroborating the everyday ongoings of our community, of our nation, and of our world, reminding us that the Spirit of God is binding all things back together again. For many of us, summer is a time of weddings and anniversaries, concerts and picnics, beach days and campfires, get-togethers and getaways. The office is quiet. There's barbecue in the air. Hands are dirty from yard work, faces are sticky from popsicles, and the moment that dusk settles, the outdoors lights up with fireflies and mosquitoes. 'Tis the time of year when routines need to be amended, schedules coordinated, responsibilities balanced, and don't forget the incessant packing and unpacking of whatever data, relationship, or luggage has made it possible. This morning, we gather here in the sanctuary, decently and in order, acknowledging that the Spirit of God is as much like a mustard seed as a family reunion. Arduous, unwieldy, and sometimes very misleading. Even as people of faith, we acknowledge that we make plans, lists, and vision boards, only to wind up with uncooperative weather, limited energy or resources, or unrealistic timeframes. But luckily, because we are all endlessly patient people with complete and utter openness to things not going our way, we find ourselves not only making a few batches of lemonade, but also whipping up some delicious lemon meringue pie. So we gather here in the sanctuary, making space for those people, certainly not any of us, but those people who, in times of unrest, doubt, fear, or frustration, perhaps need a helping hand as they unravel, spiral, fear, or curse. Those people are welcomed in this space too. I know this because I saw on the back of your 50-page bulletin. This morning, as we gather here in the sanctuary around word and sacrament, we are reminded that these very themes of radical welcome, making room for complexity, and seeking just to be present were needed as much for the early church and her apostles as they continue to be needed for us today. As we receive our scripture passage from the book of Acts, we are reminded that courses can be adjusted, commitments modified, and various setbacks navigated, all for the sake of the gospel. For the Spirit of God brings good news for the unexpected, the vulnerable, and the wrongfully condemned. And we, as people of faith, have the invitation and the opportunity to be part. Reading this brief selection from Acts 16, verses 11 to 24, it's clear, as most commentaries suggest, that the author of Acts cares little for the trials and psychic makeup of individual personalities, because this is literature in service to the community. The entire witness of the book of Acts is all about the inbreaking of the Spirit into everyday life, coming to greet us, transform us, and bind us together. Acts constantly perplexes and amazes us by recalling over and again that the people of God are ever called to respond to the seemingly impossible, while simultaneously called to recognize the fulfillment and predictability of the good news. Acts shifts each of us towards all of us by emphasizing the translatability of the gospel. Even using the pronouns we, the author of Acts follows Paul and his companions as they move from one place to the next, primarily responding to a vision a mere two verses earlier that someone needed their help. Yet, that someone who got them there would not be the someones who would keep them there. Instead, Lydia is received as a believer, an unnamed servant girl is restored, and a jailer is set free by his prisoners. Woven throughout the passage is a message of blessing, freedom, and hope that offers us a renewed sense of transformative courage and authentic belonging. We see blessing come alive in the story as we welcome Lydia, who we know as an independent businesswoman and a worshiper of God, seeking far more than comfort and success. After she and her household are baptized, Lydia implores Paul and his companions, "If you have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come and stay at my home." What is unique about this request is that the comparable translation for such persistence is parabiazomai in Greek and yakol in Hebrew. Both powerful as Lydia conversationally wrestles with Paul and Jacob physically wrestles with an angel. Each root denotes a nuance, employing force contrary to nature, enduring, overcoming, prevailing, and suffering, all for the sake of a blessing. We see freedom come to the surface in the story as we make room for the unnamed servant girl, who we know as a fortune teller and as a victim of human trafficking. She is seeking far more than employment or attention. Declaring a sense of apostolic recognition, Paul puts an end to her affliction and exorcises her. "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," he states. And while most translations interpret the Greek word diaponame as being annoyed, another accurate expression would be that he was grieved, troubled, displeased, or pained, perhaps intending healing for such systemic infection. We see hope which is yet to be fully realized in the story as we seek to be present with Paul and Silas amidst their unjust condemnation. They are beaten and attacked and remanded to prison, and they are placed with an officious jailer who is seeking far more than listless obedience and job security. While the authorities sought to prevent their escape, the Spirit of the Most High God would provide them rescue. Falsehood, assault, exploitation, and bondage would not have the final say. Neither would ignorance, complicity, or bewilderment. Instead, prayer and song would shake the foundations of the prison, and the word of God would bring salvation even to the innermost cell. This is the amazing and perplexing message of blessing, freedom, and hope that comes to us today, renewing our sense of transformative courage and authentic belonging. The Spirit of God testifies to us of faithful prevalence, because the Spirit of God will always bring good news to the unexpecting, to the vulnerable, and to the wrongfully condemned. The Spirit of God will always come to greet us, to transform us, and to bind us together. As people of faith, we know and believe that what originated in a vision of helping one person found its destiny in helping all the people, each for all, because that is the very witness of Jesus Christ. This morning, as we gather in this beautiful and radiant sanctuary, celebrating the afterglow of Pentecost and delving into the community witness of the gospel, we gather here acknowledging that regardless of our everyday ongoings, the Spirit of God is alive and well. The Spirit of God is binding all things back together again. And yes, it absolutely takes courage for each of us to say that. And sometimes it takes more or less courage for each of us to say that to one another or together. But this is our truth, this is our calling, and this is our word, that our God is a God who faithfully prevails. God is always radically welcoming us. God is always making room in our lives for more complexity. God is always seeking for us to be even more present. The gospel is as much like a family reunion as the Spirit of God is like a mustard seed. And the Spirit of God also insists that we are part. That is why we gather here. Not just because we have it all together. Not just because we have an abundance of free time to eat pie and drink lemonade. We gather here because all of us are those people. Those people who live in times of unrest, doubt, fear, and frustration. All of us need that helping hand when life causes us to unravel, spiral, fear, or curse. All of us need a radical message of grace, remembering that God seeks to bless us, to make us free, and to grant us hope. We are the unexpected, the vulnerable, and the unrighteously condemned that God includes in the story. And God does not stop there, but God sends us forth, all of us, to love and to serve, to break down and to heal, to listen and to proclaim. That is the faithful prevalence of Jesus Christ. My friends, I am delighted to be with you here this morning to cheer you on at Church of the Servant as Christ's servants and as children of light who desire, as you have stated, and I quote, to create a fellowship where the burdened and suffering will find support and comfort, where the alienated will be accepted, and where those seeking God will be shown a way. This morning, the gospel reminds us that it's okay if you have come here needing support and comfort. It's okay if you have come here needing acceptance. And it is okay if you have come here needing God. Because God greets you here in word and sacrament, welcoming you, making room for you, and seeking you. Replacing your lemonade with the cup of life, replacing your pie with the sustenance of heaven, and sending you forth with transformative courage and authentic belonging. There's a lot going on in our community, in our nation, and in our world that makes us wonder if the Spirit of God is truly alive and well, if the Spirit of God is capable of binding all things back together again. But then there are the weddings and the anniversaries. There are the concerts and the picnics, the beach days and the campfires, the get-togethers and the getaways. There are the mustard seeds. There are the family reunions. There are the unexpected people being blessed. There are vulnerable people being freed. There are wrongfully condemned people granting hope. And so we prevail in faith. Approximately 40 years ago, providentially, around the early days here at Church of the Servant, Oscar Romero served as a pastor, theologian, and archbishop in San Salvador of Central America. He ministered during a time of intense hostility between partisan forces, and Romero spoke out against injustice, poverty, torture, and violence, preaching a message of liberation that would cost him his life, yet leaving to us a legacy that remains ours today as people of faith. As we gather this morning and go forth from this place, may these words cheer all of us on with Christ's faithful prevalence. Written September 3, 1979. To believe, to hope, this is the Christian's grace in our time. When many give up hope, when it seems to them the nation has nowhere to go, as though it were all over, the Christian says, "No, we have not yet begun. We are still awaiting God's grace. With certainty, it's just beginning to be built on this earth, and we will be a blessed nation, and we will escape from so much evil. A time will come when there will be no more abductions, when we will be happy and can walk our streets and countryside without fear of being tortured or taken. That time will come. We have a song, I have faith that all will change. For it must change if we truly believe in the word that saves and place our trust in it. For me, this is the greatest honor in mission. And this is what the Lord has entrusted to us, to maintain that hope and that faith in God's people and to tell them, people of God, be worthy of your name. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, all God's people said, amen.